Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. We cover the Minnesota Vikings. And as always, I'm joined by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Bring Me the News and Zone coverage. Before we start today's show, make sure to like this video and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and the audio version of this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify, wherever you pretty much get your podcasts. So, Chris, I plan to do another, you know, fun Vikings Born on This Day game, but too much is just going on today, especially with the news that started this morning. And I think we just should just talk about that. So we're going to start with the news that happened before I even woke up. I'm on the West Coast, so this sometimes happens where I wake up and I have about 30 notifications on my phone because something happened and I'm like,
it's like the community meme where like he walks into the house with all these pizzas and it's on fire.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, I don't know if it's on fire yet, but you know, it might be getting there. But early Monday morning, at least early for me, we found out that the Vikings have decided to release longtime linebacker Eric Kendricks. Minnesota needs to clear more than 20 million of cap space before March 15th, new league year. And by cutting Kendricks, they freed up 9.5 million. So that's a good chunk of cap space that they now don't have to no longer free up. Kendricks has been with the Vikings for his entire NFL career since he was selected in the second round of the 2015 NFL draft. What has turned out to be an iconic draft class for the Vikings. During his time in Minnesota, he was voted to one Pro Bowl and he was selected to one All-Pro first team. I believe both came in the same season in 2019. My question to you, Chris, is, was this the correct decision?
I think you have to. I mean, you mentioned the cap number. What was it? $9.5 million. The Vikings entered this offseason just under $24 million over the cap. I know that doesn't make sense, but they were way over the salary cap is what I'm trying to say. I think on the field, like if Kendricks was still playing at this All-Pro, Pro Bowl level that he reached for one season, I think that the Vikings could maybe stomach that salary hit a little bit. But the fact is, Kendricks has just gotten older and slower. And we saw it come to a peak this season where, you know, in the playoff loss, you mention it all the time, Adam, you know, him jogging behind Saquon Barkley. And he's going to find a job in the NFL. Somebody's going to sign him, much like somebody signed Anthony Barr last year, I believe it was the Cowboys. You know, it's tough. Like, if you didn't like the Eric Kendricks decision, get ready because this offseason is going to be one big gut punch for you because other veterans are going to be shown the door. It's not a method of F you, like, we don't like you anymore. It's, you know, hey, like, these decisions have to be made. The Vikings haven't made these decisions in years. And I mean, I think I saw somebody on Twitter, like, being like, see, they wrote an entire book because of Eric Kendricks. Well, Eric Kendricks is like a big piece of Vikings history. He was the middle of the defense. He was the soul of the defense. And especially in the last couple of years, he really ramped up his involvement in the community. After the George Floyd murder, he donated $250,000 to social justice efforts. He's been a big advocate of mental health, which is something that is near and dear to my heart. You know, you hate to see this happen, but it's the NFL, man. Like, in a perfect world, Eric Kendricks and Randy Moss and a whole bunch of other. I just listed Randy Moss because, like, I don't know. I know he was traded, but I mean, in a perfect world, everybody would get to get drafted by the team they were selected by and play their entire year with them. That's just not how it works. Not with the salary cap and not with the Vikings cap situation in particular. So it's a little somber. I've jokingly resembled it to Shawn Michaels against Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24, where, you know, all these times, like throughout the match, like he doesn't want to hit chin music. He didn't want to kick him in the face because he respects him so much. And he winds up like doing it to his detriment at some points because he gets put in the figure four. He gets, you know, all this stuff. And at the very end, you know, Ric Flair's on the mat and he's going like, come on, like trying to fight. But he's 64. He can't do it anymore. And Shawn Michaels looks at him and goes, I'm sorry. I love you. And puts an end to it. So that's basically what this is for Vikings fans.
Yeah, I would probably relate Thielen more to that if he's let go than Kendricks. Cause I feel like Thielen's probably more near and dear to Vikings fans' hearts. And not that people don't like Kendricks, but like if you're like pick between Thielen or Kendricks, people are probably gonna pick Thielen just because of his.
Did you know he's from Minnesota?
Minnesota roots.
Yeah, just checking.
Yeah, and Eric Kendricks is 31, so yeah, he should be able to get another opportunity somewhere else. I saw somebody being like him and Barr should team up and join in one of the LA teams for like a last run or whatever in the NFL. And I'm like, that'd be fun, but that defense wouldn't be very good. So
and teams don't care about that.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there. Correct.
And he's going to get opportunities. You know, there's lots of Vikings coaches that he's worked with are around the league now. You think of Jonathan Gannon over with the Cardinals. He's got some connections to the Broncos with George Payton, although I don't know how much George Payton is really running the Broncos anymore because Sean Payton's over there doing his thing. But yeah, I would be surprised if Eric Kendricks is not playing in the NFL next year because he's still valuable. His experience is valuable. You know, we think about, you know, you bring up all the time me talking about him jogging behind Saquon Barkley in the playoffs, but he also recovered that fumble against the Bills in that miraculous comeback win this season when he was the one to come up with that fumble in the end zone and really turn that game around. So he can still make plays. Just don't ask him really to cover guys deep downfield. Like he can't. He used to be able to really do that well. Like there's, remember him like running stride for stride with like Devontae Adams and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he can't really do that anymore. It's getting old and he's dealt with some injuries over the years. So it happens. But I think he still had over 100 tackles last year. So he's still gets around the ball. I think he'd probably still be good in the red zone and things like that. So he's still got some use. And he'll be probably extra motivated or whatever next year to prove people wrong. But yeah, I appreciate his time with the Vikings. I always thought he was good as soon as he got to the Vikings. I think he came in. He didn't start right away, but then they traded Gerald Hodges to the Niners like midway through kind of early in the 2015 season. And then that was pretty much a sign that Eric Kendricks was going to start, and he pretty much started, you know, ever since then. And he never really had like any serious injuries. There was a couple where it knocked him out for like a handful of games, but nothing really too serious. He was pretty durable. He was just a big part of those really successful defenses during the Mike Zimmer era when you look at like 2017, 2018, 2019. So he'll have a big piece in Vikings, you know, memories, at least of the modern fan. And it's hard to forget someone with that head of hair. It's pretty memorable. Do you think Kendricks will end up in the Vikings Ring of Honor?
I was trying to think of this and I'm like, who are the greatest linebackers in Vikings history? And Scott Studwell came to mind. Matt Blair, that's another one, right? I'm trying to go down memory lane here, but I was just trying to think of
Jack Del Rio.
I mean, Chad Greenway has more tackles, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's not in the Ring of Honor yet. That might change.
Pro Bowls, I think.
Actually, yeah.
Only one.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the shock to me was that Eric Kendricks only made one Pro Bowl and one All Pro. Like it seemed like he was a multiple time Pro Bowler, but that didn't happen. I think, you know, if Chad Greenway goes in, I think Eric Kendricks goes in. Cause I don't know. Eric Kendricks' presence just seems more over the course of his career. Right. like Chad Greenway was just a very solid player, but Eric Kendricks, you know, maybe it was his off the field work the last couple of years, but it felt like he was a guy you just had a connection to. So
I feel like Greenway played on a lot of bad teams.
Right.
Like he was there in 09 and what, 15 when they made the playoffs, but he was, for the most part, the defenses Greenway was on were not very good.
Let's flip the question on you. Let's talk about the 2015 draft class. Yeah. How many players in that class wind up in the Ring of Honor?
Now you gotta make me look at it.
So you have Trey Waynes, that's a no. You have sorry, Trey.
Sorry. catching strays over here.
Yeah. You have Kendricks. You have Daniil Hunter.
Hunter
was Jarek McKinnon.
Nope. Yeah, TJ Clemmings.
Okay. He's not going to be a Ring of Honor.
Michael Pruitt.
Stephon Diggs.
Yep, that's pretty much it from that class. Unless you want to count like Edmund Robinson, who I think plays in the XFL now or something.
Fun name.
I don't know about Diggs, like, because he's done so well with the Bills now. He's the miracle guy.
Yeah,
he's awesome. Like with the rookie, so you want to associate him with the Vikings, but he's done so much better with the Bills. I feel like that. I kind of just associate him with the Bills now. It's kind of weird. Oh, he's like, he's a Bills receiver. Like, because I just think he's done so much better. Maybe it's just been so long that he hasn't been in the Vikings uniform. I just associate him with the Bills now. But I don't know. That'll be interesting to see, like, if he's even, like, interested in, if Diggs is interested in being, like, in the Ring of Honor or anything. I'm sure he would. Because I'm sure they'll have, like, some celebration in, like, 2027. Like the 10-year anniversary of the Minneapolis Miracle.
Diggs will wave and everybody will cheer. Yeah. Like, Case despite Keenum. What they think of him now, but
Keenum will be there. Adrian Peterson will be there and be like, oh wait, no, I wasn't there. I would say Hunter's a lock for the Ring of Honor of that class. Diggs, depending on his opinion. And then I think Kendricks would probably be third out of that.
Yeah.
That draft class. But that's what you say, probably that's probably Rick Spielman's best draft class with the Vikings.
For sure. I mean, there are a few draft classes in NFL history that have had that impact.
Yeah.
Like you think about the I think what was it, 2016 or 2017 Saints? That also Saints were fueled by a big time rookie class in 2017 with Kamara, Marcus Williams, outside of that one play.
Marshawn
Ryan Lattimore. Ramchek, another guy. I mean, yeah, that was a pretty damn good class.
Yeah, it was. Would have been nice if Rick could have done that if Winnie had like 15 picks that one year, but that didn't work either.
Better chance to get three Ring of Honor players when you have 15 picks, but it didn't work out that way. When seven of them are on day three,
when 10 of them are seventh round picks, your chances aren't that much. So, what else I want to ask on Eric Kendricks? I feel like there's one more thing, but like I don't know. I know what I was going to ask. Who do you think is going to get cut next? Because we know more people are gone. Did they just give Eric Kendricks like this his whole day to like kind of have this?
Yeah.
Everyone get all the praise for himself. And then like tomorrow and Wednesday, they're going to be like.
What if it's like one per week? There's five players and like slowly.
Thielen next
like
week.
Yeah. Friday is like Thielen day. Like they're just warming us up to by the point the end of the week gets. We'll just be numb to the fact that all of our favorites are gone. Jordan Hicks. Like, I think Jordan Hicks is going to be the next one out. That's just an easy one, right? You save $4.5 million. He wasn't that great. You get Brian Asamoah to starting lineup. And if you're Brian Flores, you go into the free agent pool and be like, that guy, give me that guy. Young, faster guy in his 20s, hopefully.
Yeah, I could see. I know Brian Asamoah is going to play a lot next year. Anyways, I've heard a lot about that coming true. I could see Hicks for sure. I could see them. Now that they got rid of Kendricks, I could see them keeping Hicks because of the way that Brian Flores likes to run his defense with a more aggressive style. And I think Hicks is actually a better pass rusher than Kendricks is. At least he grades that way by PFF standards or whatever. I wouldn't be surprised if Za'Darius Smith is let go because I think you look at it like, do you want to get... He clears up like $10 million in cap space. And to get that with other players, you have to cut like at least two or three other guys to get that $10 million mark. Or you can just do it with one. I think that's a more logical way, but you know, you never know. With Flores or O'Connell, do they want to keep him around for his leadership? And he was still pretty good last year. I think he led the Vikings in pressures.
Do you think they can get something for him in trade, though?
No.
No.
Not maybe a conditional fifth. Like, he's dealing with injuries the past 2 years. He's not cheap. So I don't know. I don't think they could. And then one last thing. What do you think? Does this have any impact on a possible extension for Kirk Cousins? Because do you think a move would have happened, like getting rid of Kendricks, if the Vikings were more confident in signing Cousins to a multi-year deal that would clear up probably more cap space?
I think as much as the salary had to do with it, I also think that, you know, Kendricks' ability also had to do with it. Yeah. It was just time. Like, he wasn't, I mean, maybe you keep him around from a leadership standpoint.
Right.
And at that point, you know, you're kind of toying with the whole, well, we got this young up and comer. He's a little bit faster, you know, mix him in. Like, the Vikings are very conscious of that kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm not slamming Kendricks by saying this, but I'm like, eliminate the hurdles. Like, as far as, you know, we need to get younger, we need to get faster, and we thank you for everything, but it's just time. Like,
yeah, you got to leave your feelings at the door for sure when it comes to.
And what was it, eight seasons? Like, that's pretty damn good for an NFL one team.
For sure. And he just got married. I think he's got a kid on the way, his first kid. So he's got lots of things to look forward to. Today might suck for him. He probably knew it was coming, because I think like his wife posted something similar after the season to Thielen's wife, where she was like, this might be the last time. So they kind of had an idea, and they probably knew probably a while ago, actually, that this was going to happen.
That was the one interesting thing. Like, you heard about, like, Cook and Thielen, we've heard grumblings about their role, but Kendricks never, like, we didn't hear anything about it.
Well, he's been maybe a starter.
And maybe a post from his wife, but whatever. I mean, the guy, he's probably just content with it. Like, okay, this is probably going to happen, and let's just figure it out. Like,
oh yeah. Well, I'm sure they look at even just at the draft last year and them taking Asamoah. And I'm sure Kendricks was like, well, that's probably not a good sign for me moving forward. But yeah, it sucks. He's someone I'll still root for if he's on another team in the NFL.
Except for one.
Yeah. If he plays for the Packers, I'm sorry.
Or gonna get back at you.
I don't even know if he goes to the Broncos. Like, I don't know if I can like the Broncos with Sean Payton coaching them, because I know he's just a dickhead. So
and Russ, like, too.
Does that hate from the Saints just switch to the Broncos with Sean Payton there? Because I'm not really fearful of the Saints anymore, even when they just signed Derek Carr to.
They have the best quarterback in the NFC South, man. It's like Mardi Gras down there. Who else was celebrating today over that?
Michael Thomas.
Kirk. Yeah, my boy.
Well, Geno just signed.
Chains.
Yeah, Geno just signed too.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm better than those two. Give me my money. The Vikings will be like,
he's waiting for the Daniel Jones contract to drop. He is. 50 million for Daniel Jones.
and Kwesi's gonna be like, damn you, Daniel Jones. I think he's gonna get franchised. I think Daniel Jones is gonna get franchised, because he wants too much. That's what it sounds like. He wants like 45 million. What?
Well, and the problem is they have to figure out something with Barkley, and they don't want to give him a long-term deal.
Yeah. They want to keep him, because the word is like, they want to sign Daniel Jones to like a multi-year deal and then franchise Barkley, because the franchise is like 10 million for a running back, which is affordable this day and age. That's only a 1-year deal. But this is a Vikings podcast, not a Giants podcast. But yeah, sticking with quarterbacks, though, we'll switch to the NFL scouting combine, which happened during the last few days. The Underwear Olympics, as some people like to call them. Many expected former Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson to shine at this year's NFL combine. Very athletic player. His athleticism didn't really translate into monster numbers at Florida, but sometimes that doesn't really tell the whole story. But he might have exceeded all of those lofty expectations with the performance that he had at the combine this year. The 6'4", 244-pound Richardson ran a 4.43 40, and his vertical measured in at a whopping 40 and a half inches. He also performed well during the passing drills, throwing deep passes with ease, pretty much. He's still viewed as a project in the NFL by most analysts, but there doesn't seem to be any more after this workout. There doesn't seem to be much more of a chance of him falling down to pick number 23 to the Vikings in this year's draft anymore. So knowing this, that he's probably going to be off the board by the time it comes for them to pick, at least in their spot right now, should the Vikings do whatever they can to trade up and try and get Richardson, or maybe if Will Levis is around too, and try and get one of those guys in the draft this year.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Within reason. Like, I'm not dealing five first-round picks and that stuff. I know somebody suggested three first-round picks, and I would definitely think about that deal. Yeah. I don't think it'll be that much is the thing, but, you know, if it involves a 2023 and a 2024 and maybe some loose change, I would make that selection. Yep. The problem is now that Richardson's athletics are so off the chart, I don't see him getting past Indianapolis at four.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Bears are probably going to keep Justin Fields. We're hearing that more and more from more people. So they're probably going to trade the number one overall pick. So somebody's going to leapfrog. I think Anthony Richardson is going to be a top five pick after this. I think people are going to see the tools. They're going to see the athleticism. If they have a staff that can develop him. And I think the other thing is too, they need a situation where he can redshirt. I would not start him year one. No. I think that would be a big mistake for his development. He's very similar type of prospect as Trey Lance a couple years ago, where he's big, he's mobile. Obviously, he's a better athlete because no other quarterback in the history of the combine has tested as well as Richardson has. A perfect 10.0 relative athletic score. That's good stuff right there. Yeah, that's... He's drooling right now. He's just like, he's like Matt Daniels over Jalen Reagor, but like a player that's actually, you know, somewhat good. Yeah. You know, I want to talk about like some of the people online, and I know people online, a lot of them don't matter. Like they think they matter, but they don't. And I mean, even me to a degree, like sometimes I'm just blowing smoke out of my ass. So I mean, take my comments with a grain of salt.
You want to go full meta. None of us really matter.
True.
All little specks on this blue dot.
Next week, we'll have Aaron Rodgers on the podcast to discuss this. But no, I mean, I think some people, you know, Dollar Store Batista, my guy, Ben Lieber, was talking about how...
I'm glad you confirmed everyone who that was.
Yeah, he was talking about how, you know, vertical jump doesn't matter as a quarterback. And Jeff Lambert, I believe, said, I wish you could have jumped a little bit higher on that 2009 game-winning field goal. But
did you just call him by like his real name?
Other guy, his son is Meat Sauce.
Paul Lambert is Meat Sauce. He's the one who said that.
Isn't it Jeff? Oh.
His dad is like
his Jeff, dad is like a lawyer.
All right, I got them mixed up. I don't know. They're both going to go shotgun a beer after tweeting each other. The thing is, like, some people, I don't understand it. Like, I think there's just this fear. And I mean, you know, especially when it comes to Richardson, it's like, well, you know, he's a little bit raw and everybody's like, like, you know, people look at CJ Stroud, who threw very well at the combine. He put on a show. Nobody's talking about that, but his pressure numbers are so bad. Like, he didn't have, you know, Aaron Donald barreling down on him as he's making those throws. Same goes for Anthony Richardson. But I think, like, some people are just so dead set locked on the stability that Kirk brings that they just don't think is better. And like, in reality, how good is Kirk Cousins? Like, he's good. He's good. I will give you that. He's a 4,000 yard passer. He gets you 30 touchdowns and everything else. How good is he? Like really, like, you could do worse. You could do a hell of a lot worse, but you haven't gotten out of the first. Like, I swear, like, I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again, but some people look at Anthony Richardson and they almost just root for the guy to fail because he's not this pro ready prospect and everything else. And, you know, I love my Kirky so much, and Kirky's the bestest quarterback ever, and nobody else could ever be like Kirky. I'd pay him $2,100 just to keep Kirk Cousins. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. It's just super weird to me, and it's super strange. And I had to talk about it because it's just like, the kid's a freak. And you know what? If you draft Anthony Richardson and he sucks, you know what else you do? You draft another quarterback. And general managers don't usually get another one, but it's just like drafting a bad corner. Like, if you draft Mike Hughes, what do you do the next year? You draft another corner. The Vikings have drafted a corner for the past 5 years because they can't figure it out. So why aren't we taking swings at quarterbacks, especially when we have a chance to get them? I don't know if the Vikings will have a chance to get Anthony Richardson, but I mean, this thought process of just because he needs a little bit of work, it's bizarre to me. So I just wanted to talk about that. I don't know if I, like, rambled on and, like, didn't make sense there, but I don't know. Just chill out, well, guys.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about college stats, it's funny how the people don't bring up Kirk Cousins' college stats, because he had a bunch of stinkers in college when he was at Michigan State. He had some good games too, but he had some pretty bad games there too. But no one ever brings that up. And with Richardson too, like, people are like, well, like, what if he's just another Christian Ponder or Teddy Bridgewater? Or, like, oh, fine, at least you took a chance. Like,
you could say that about any prospect.
Correct. You're not going to find the next quarterback if you take zero chances. You're going to find no one because you're not taking a chance. If you take a chance, then at least you have a chance to find someone. Like, this whole thing, like, well, the Vikings shouldn't, like, what? Like, people are waiting for, like, either the Vikings to get a pick in the top five, which is never going to happen with the way they run things, or they're waiting for, like, the absolute perfect prospect to just fall into their lap. And that's not going to happen either. Like, teams like the Chiefs, I know people don't like to bring it up because it's Mahomes and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks already, but they were aggressive and they went up and got their guy. They were fine. They made the playoffs with Alex Smith. I looked this up today. The Chiefs, throughout their history, drafted 32 quarterbacks. And in total, those quarterbacks made a grand total of one Pro Bowl. 32 quarterbacks made one Pro Bowl. And they were still like, no, we're going to go and get our guy. We're going to get Mahomes. We're going to take a chance on him.
Was it old-ass Joe Montana, too?
No. He was drafted by the Niners. I'm talking about...
Montana was on the Chiefs for years.
I know, but I'm talking about quarterbacks that were drafted.
Oh, that they drafted. Chiefs. I'm sorry.
Yes. Go ahead. So, they drafted 32 in their history, and only one went on to make a Pro Bowl in the Chiefs uniform. I'll say that. But they were still fine. They weren't scared of the past. They went up and traded up and drafted Mahomes, and that's worked out pretty damn well for them. So, like, other people are like, what if it's Kirk Cousins? Or what if it's Kirk Cousins? What if it's Christian Ponder? What if it's Joe Webb? I see a lot of that, too. Like, Joe Webb was so athletic. Did Joe Webb play in the SEC? Did Joe Webb, could he throw at all coming out of college? No. He couldn't. So, like, stop with, like, well, he's just a modern day Joe Webb. No, that's stupid. That's nonsense. You're talking out of your ass when you say dumb shit.
Napoleon's burner just going hard.
Yeah. So, like, if Richardson and the Vikings seem to like him, they had a formal interview with him. We've heard Kevin O'Connell. I think he was on NFL Network talking about how much he likes Richardson and some of the other guys. So they like him. And I would feel a whole lot more confident with someone like Kevin O'Connell being in charge of his career than I would, you know, having maybe like Mike Zimmer or Leslie Frazier as his coach. That's the thing, too, you gotta remember. The quarterbacks that failed with the Vikings, they didn't really have a lot of things going for them. Like Teddy Bridgewater, he probably could have used like a year sitting down, but he had to go in there because the Vikings had what? Matt Castle and Christian Ponder.
Could have used a better groundskeeping service at Winter Park, but that's another story.
Yeah, and they had to play outside. They played in TCF or whatever on the cement field before it got better. So, like, all these quarterbacks they've drafted before that didn't pan out, like, there was a reason they weren't successful. And even looking at those, you can't base what the Vikings are now on what happened in the past. Because this one is totally different regime, too. Like, who cares that Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer drafted this quarterback that didn't work out? They're gone. There's a whole new regime in charge, and they've already done things, you know, much better in their first year than Zimmer and Spielman really did ever. So take a chance on a guy like Richardson. But I think if the Vikings want to get him, yeah, they're going to have to give up a lot more than they would have before Combine. Because I think, yeah, he's going to be off the board by... You said what, top four? I would say,
yeah, like four, yeah,
six or seven. Even if he gets to a team like the Lions, I wouldn't be shocked if they took him with like Jared Goff's not their future, so they could sit him for a year and have Richardson in there. And oh my God, Dan Campbell would love him so much. That would suck for the Vikings. But let's what else I have to ask you? If the Vikings can't draft a quarterback in the first round this year, do you think they should wait until next year to draft one maybe in the first round, or should they try and maybe take a chance on a mid-round quarterback this year?
I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting this year. I know some people are like high on Hendon Hooker, but he's 25 years old.
He just tears ACL too?
Yeah, he's coming off an ACL tear. Like, I know that's just not a good pick for any team. Even Jaren Hall from BYU, he's a guy that's got a can of an arm and got some nice traits, but he's also an older prospect at 24.
I don't want a BYU quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. This one's not banging their teammates' moms or whatever it is.
But no, I did that at BYU. We got kicked out.
Yes. Yes.
Did you know Jamal Williams went there? I learned that the other day that he went there and he got in trouble for doing some relations.
Breaking the honor code. Isn't that what it's called? Like, it's something like that. Like, having Jamal Williams, marital sex is breaking Jamal the honor Williams, code.
Whose touchdown dance now currently is thrusting the air with the BYU.
BYU's like, he's not ours. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, we don't know anything about him. But next year's quarterback class, I mean, it's looking pretty good, man. You got, and it could always change. It could change for the worse. Like, maybe Caleb Williams blows out his knee next year. Maybe Drake May actually sucks.
And other guys could.
Quinn Ewers is actually going to battle Arch Manning for the starting job at Texas. I saw that today. So that could be another thing.
And other guys could also pop out of nowhere.
I was just about to say that. Joe Burrow, nobody knew who he was before last year. And two, like, if the Vikings are going to try and compete, which I think they are. I mean, no team's ever going to willingly try to tank unless you're the Dolphins. But
the Bears
with this get. Yes, I'm sorry. The Bears did it. The Bears did it successfully because they didn't pay their head coach to lose games and bring Tom Brady on a yacht. But that's another discussion. You know, with a Viking schedule like Kansas City, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Matthew Collar calls this the natural tank. We could see the Vikings just fall off a cliff and whoops, all of a sudden we have a top 10 pick. So, and then you're spending a little bit less to trade up, especially if you like a guy like Caleb Williams. I don't know. I guess I don't really like the mid-round quarterback prospects in this draft. And historically, if you are taking a mid-round quarterback prospect, they're not going to turn out unless if it's a historical outlier like Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins.
Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, yeah. And the greatest quarterback ever, Brock Purdy. Forgot about him. He's rehabbing with the Twins pitchers now.
With the way that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah approached the offseason and last year's draft, I would be surprised if they didn't trade up. If they want a quarterback, I'd be surprised if they didn't trade up for a quarterback. If they feel like it's going to be too much, then I would expect them to trade down. And it all really just depends too on what happens with Kirk, because we're still waiting on to see if he's going to get extended. I think that'll probably affect a lot of things. moving forward. And if he doesn't, then if he doesn't get extended, I think they're trading up. Like that seems like it, that's going to happen. So I think we just got to wait and see what happens with Kirk Cousins. And based on some of the money given out today, I don't know if he's going to get extended, but we'll see. Moving on to the final topic, I just wanted to have you rank some Mike Zimmer era defenders with the release of Kendricks today. He was a big part of that Mike Zimmer era of the elite defenses. And most of them are gone now. Not surprising, but most of them are gone now. I think Danielle Hunter and Harrison Smith are really the only two guys pretty much left from that era who are still with the team at this hour. I don't know for next season if that's going to remain the case. But I would just like you to rank these Mike Zimmer era Vikings defenders from best to worst, and I'll give them to you. Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, Eric Kendricks, Xavier Rhodes, and Anthony Barr.
I would put Everson Griffin first. He's got the Pro Bowls. I think he's top 10 in Vikings history in sacks, which even more impressive when you consider the history of this franchise. Sacks weren't a stat since 1982, but when you go on a Pro Football Reference and they have their unofficial sack count, Everson Griffin's still up there. So, I mean, knowing the pass rushers the Vikings have had, that's impressive no matter how you slice it. I would put Xavier Rhodes ahead of Kendricks just because at the peak of his powers, which was like a good 2 or 3 year stretch, yep, Xavier Rhodes was one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I don't think you'd ever say, I think if you said that about Eric Kendricks, it would have been 2019. That was the 1 year that he had the pop-up year. So, I mean, really, when you think of it that way, I'd put Kendricks ahead of Linval Joseph. Joseph was really good. He made some Pro Bowls, but I think Kendricks had a bigger impact. And then I would put Anthony Barr fifth.
What? You put him fifth?
I put Anthony. I just feel like he didn't have the impact that he should have had. And I think his knee played an issue. Yeah. But I mean, there were just times where it was just kind of like, where is Anthony Barr? And a lot of people think it was the role he was playing or that sort of thing. I he's one of the greatest linebackers in Vikings history. But I mean, I just think that
Anthony Barr.
Yes. And I also think that maybe his value is inflated a little bit because of one tackle on Aaron Rodgers, which is great, by the way. I'm not downplaying that.
It was a legal tackle. That's it. That's all it was.
They should put a statue of that in front of US Bank Stadium. No, right next to the miracle play.
Put it in front of Lambeau Field. That people love that.
Aaron Rodgers' eyes were like as big as him on like ayahuasca in that picture too. He's like,
I think there's video of like Anthony Barr like grabbing his nutsack too when Aaron Rodgers was walking off the field. Just be like, yeah, suck it. Early career Anthony Barr was very good.
Yes.
I don't know what happened in like 2016 or 2017, but like he was everywhere. I just remember that play. I think it was against the Falcons where I think it might have been Tevin Coleman who broke off like a long run, and Anthony Barr chased him all the way down the field and punched the ball.
What about the end zone? What about his rookie year against the Bucks? Pick six.
Yep. Was that a pick six or was it a fumble? I think he stripped six. It. He stripped it
right out of his hand. It looked like an interception because he ripped it right out of there.
Yeah, he made plays like that all the time, getting in the quarterback and everything. And then, like, I don't know, something happened. Like, I don't know if it was an injury or, like you said, his role, but, like, we never really saw that again. Every offseason we heard, like, oh, Anthony Barr is working with the defensive lineman, working on his pass rushing stuff. He's going to be more of a pass rusher this year. It's like, no, he's not. And that never happened. I'd put Griffin first, like you two. I'd put Rhodes second, just because, he was a shutdown corner. And
his game against Odell Beckham on Monday Night Football is like one of my favorite Viking games ever. It was hilarious.
He got in his face, like he was frustrating him. Even games against like DeAndre Hopkins, where he would shut him down. He'd shut down Julio Jones so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he was very good in his prime. Because of his early career, I'd put Anthony Barr third.
Okay.
Just because he was a beast, and then I just don't know what happened. And he made what four or five Pro Bowls with the Vikings. Linval and Eric Kendricks. Like Linval was really good. You could tell like how much the Vikings missed him when he left, especially against the run. But I'll put Kendricks because he made a lot of plays when he was younger too, and like he was there. Not to say that Linval was terrible, but I would just put put him.
I don't think anybody on this list is terrible.
No.
Like, I think they're all good players. They're all staples of that defense.
I think Kendricks had the reason he didn't make as many Pro Bowls, one, because the Pro Bowl, like, categorization or whatever is stupid. And, like, they pick three linebackers, but one of them will be, like, Chandler Jones and Micah Parsons, who clearly aren't, like, off-the-ball linebackers. Those are, like, clearly pass rushers. And then you have, like, he had guys like Bobby Wagner in front of him who was just going to make the Pro Bowl every year. And like who's from the Niners? Patrick Willis, was that before his time?
Fred Warner,
Navarro Bowman, guys like that.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, I was thinking like earlier. But yeah, Everson, Xavier Rhodes, Rhodes closed, Anthony Barr, Kendricks, and what an era! It's coming to an end. Sad time. I think it was fun. It was a fun time. You know, there was lots to talk about, but it's coming to a close, and the Vikings are heading in a different era. And hopefully that'll be fun too. So. We'll see. This offseason is going to be fun. I can tell you that for sure. It's just getting started. With a bunch of people getting released today. I think Frank Clark got released today. I think Orlando Brown Jr. or whatever. He's not coming back. So there's going to be a lot to talk about in the next few weeks, especially next week. Free agency is beginning. Yeah, like lots to talk about. And then you got the draft too as well. Pro days and everything coming up. So there will be lots to talk about. If you want to hear our opinions on all that stuff, make sure to subscribe to this channel on YouTube and like our videos. We'd appreciate that. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. But until next time, Chris and I talk to you later.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.